Hello, everybody. Here we are in our studio with our pre-session rave about to happen.
Rave.
Yeah, a big rave.
Strobe lights.
That's right. Reincarnation.
A reincarnation.
So Stephen walked in this morning going,
reincarnation.
Let's talk about reincarnation. And we're like, that's kind of a big subject.
And
we decided, let's just freestyle it.
Yeah, we thought we'd freestyle it because it's massive. And we thought we'd just sort of peel away little bits and pieces.
Yeah, because I thought, what are we going to talk about? It's really, I believe in reincarnation. Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, doink.
So the first thing that pops into my mind is, when did you first learn about it?
Yeah. I think one of the first times I learned about it was when I was attending Hay House events.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of pops in.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer talking about it and Doreen Virtue. And I read also Dr. Brian Weiss,
mm-hmm.
who is a psychiatrist. And his first book was...
Many Lives, Many Masters.
And it blew my mind. It was just so affirming. And I think many people have that story who've read his work. And then he went on to write many more. And just amazing. Just amazing. Mm. So, yeah, I guess I've been aware of it for, I don't know, since 2000 at the very least. And I remember when my dad died, doing some past life regression on our relationship so I could get that resolution about we had quite a tumultuous time and a lot of questions were left.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was really nice to see who he was to me and who I was to him and
interesting.
Feel that it kind of personifies or gives you insight,
yes,
yeah, into why we are the way we are with some people. Because there are some things, some dynamics with people that you just can't, you just don't know what that's about.
I was doing a session with a client who had a really tumultuous relationship with her husband. They were actually estranged. And she, you know, and he was bringing drugs into the house, you know, with their kids and everything like that. And she was just completely unable to cut the cords. And she said, I don't know. She goes, I don't know what this is, what it is. And I said, I kind of jokingly said, it might be a past life thing, just to kind of float and see how she'd react. Because, you know, I want to force my ideas on anybody. And she kind of said, she goes, is that possible? I've heard about past lives. But she didn't really know. She was open to it. So anyway, we did a session. Oh my God. What she came to was so phenomenal. She couldn't have just invented a story. This isn't a storyteller. She couldn't have invented the story. And it perfectly explained her
dynamic.
And it enabled her to get clarity and then to take steps in this life to realize I'm still, and we were able to then release.
Yeah.
In the tapping, that feeling that she had to take care of him, which was ultimately what it had been about.
I'd always heard about reincarnation, but
it's a Buddhist term, isn't it?
Yes, and a Hindu concept.
Right.
And I thought, well, it's interesting, and you know, I thought, well, maybe it's connected to ancestral memory. But maybe what you're having is ancestor memory or genetic memory, you know. But I never really jumped in on it and went, yes, I really believe in it. It was over 20 years ago now, but I was in India, of course, and I was in a lineup at an airport, and there was this Australian standing behind me, and we just started talking, but I didn't realize he was an emissary from the Dalai Lama. Just happened to bump into one.
As you do.
And on my way to Kathmandu, and he was actually part of that delegation that the movie Bertolucci's Little Buddha was based around, about the monk that died and they found the little boy in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was part of that delegation that went looking for the reincarnated Lama. And so I hung out with this guy for a couple of days, because my wish was, I was saying to Celeste, I really need to know about reincarnation. And of course, within an hour or so, the man that I need to speak to is there, of course. You know,
you're a manifester.
I'm a manifester. And he told me this, the astonishing story, which Little Buddha is based about. And when he told me all about this stuff, I was sitting there going, okay, that's it. You gave me the answer.
You
I
had
needed.
The yes.
I got the yes, and I went, that's it. Yeah, it's definitely.
Can you tell us?
Definitely on. Well, they found the little
boy. Posted below.
They found the little boy in Spain, and little boy was as the monk, as the delegation of lamas went up to him. He ran up to his old friend, little boy, and said, "What took you so long?" And this this young boy now has his own monastery in India. Yeah.
Mm.
So.
Amazing.
And this Australian guy was blown out. He just said it was astonishing. And of course, this goes on all the time. They go looking for these reincarnated monks and they find them.
Mm-hmm. What if someone came knocking on your door and went,
"Hi."
You would not believe what we've been through to get here. Yeah. And you just kind of went, "I feel like I need to invite you in.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to set up a monastery."
Well, I guess that's the question that rises for me is, why is it that so many of us are so forgetful around this? You know, obviously there's a level of awareness that you reach where you know who your past lives, and you know, there's a certainty of connection with certain people. But many of us walk around just completely ignoring all of that.
It's the amniotic fluid. Amnia means amnesia. For
Did you just make that up?
No, I did not make that up.
Wow, that's insane. Whoa.
It kind of does a little white, like a little wipe sort out. Of wipe the slate, cleans the whiteboard. But kids often remember things.
Yeah,
you know?
They do.
Have your kids ever said anything, spouted any like, "Oh, that's the model of motorcycle I used to work on," you know, or anything like that?
Sina is often saying things like, "When I was a grandmother, for you, I brushed your hair."
Okay, it's hard to tell if it was.
Yeah, it's not really something you can validate, but she often says things like that. When I was a little baby.
Yeah.
I heard 4 years old was the, between 3 and 4 was like the time when they have the vocal, the words to express, and the cognition that kind of come together, and then it kind of fades by about 6, usually.
I think I'm sitting here going, "Oh, I think I need to do some tapping on to tap into a recurring dream I've had." And it's once again, Tibetan monks. I've always, since a little boy, had a recurring dream of, and I have these dreams once or twice a year, and nothing in particular happens. It's not the same dream, but I'm always hanging out in a monastery in Tibet. Just day to day stuff, you know, eating a piece of fruit or a piece of yak.
I don't think they ate yet.
But
they changed the rules
recently. But I've had it since I was a little boy, and it doesn't go away.
I can see that with
you. And I think I'm going to definitely hook into this today. Maybe we'll go down that path.
Are we
going to try and want to
tapping into our past lives?
Yeah.
Tapping into. You know what? Actually. I can do. There's definitely a technique, and my colleague Jenny Johnson, who is also an EFT practitioner and trainer here in Australia, she's written a book called Tapping Into Past Lives, and she specializes in helping people to access past life experiences, and so maybe we can tap
does
in.
She,
can
does
we
she,
squeeze that into?
I think we can. I think we can certainly introduce the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get people. Right.
Is it about tapping into past lives to access information to get help from all of those other sources, streams of lives that we've had?
I think it can be anything. It can be anything and everything, because people are so unique. For one person, it might be figure out what the, like with this client of mine, where does the, what's the origin of that dynamic of that relationship that isn't working in this life? Why is that dynamic? When was that formed? It can also be getting a deeper understanding of things that are patterns that are at work in your present life that don't make sense, and being able to clear them. So you can either just sort of access for understanding and access to clear.
Yeah, that's a desire for me, to clear some karmic ties. Yeah, because there are patterns
in
relationship that I need to just unhook.
And Jenny does this thing where she also talks about mining the Akash, which is about accessing gifts and knowledge that you had. So if you were like an amazing musician in a past life and you want to enhance your creativity in this life, you sort of get in touch with that birthright of yours
that you've left behind. I like that, the Akash. It sounds like cachet.
Do you know what the Akash is?
The Akashic Records.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But it sounds interesting how that's like a cachet of information.
Yes, it does.
Isn't it?
Mm.
It's a real link there.
Yeah.
You reach into your Akashic case.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Oh, I'm excited about our tapping session today.
Well, we've still got another 5 minutes to chat, so I knew this would happen if we talked about reincarnation.
No, this is like, I've got so many stories, I'm not quite sure which one I would like to go into.
I love those little, I'm just thinking of those little videos that you see sometimes on Facebook that are advertisements for documentaries on children who can give really thorough accounts of their past life.
Oh, and
be verified.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that little boy who was a World War II pilot who was shot down.
Yes.
In Japan. That one's, you can access that. I think you just do a search on YouTube for little boy, reincarnation, Japan, fighter pilot or something like that. And up it comes, because there were news outlets that did big stories on it.
It's amazing, isn't it? That there is actual...
It brings tears to
value,
your eyes.
Validation of this phenomenon.
Yeah.
And yet so many people don't, I guess, have that belief.
Well, you know, I think that it's possible that the reason it's set up the way it is that we would be maybe stopped from achieving or progressing in this life the way that we intend to if we're overwhelmed by a million other lives, like if we've taken them with us. So it's kind of like living in the present.
Yeah, you need the tools of how to do it.
Yeah.
Like appropriately, I suppose, not get stuck there.
Yeah, so it's like we say, you know, live each moment, be in the present moment. Don't be kind of with your mind spinning around about the moments that came before. Maybe the same thing on a big scale with lives. It's like live in this present life.
Yes. But
pull all the memories into the present.
Because you can, I think, maybe get obsessed with, you know, past life regressions one after the other.
I was this, I was that. I was that.
Exactly.
And
it's like,
queen.
Well, that's right. And it's, what are you doing right now in this life?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Exactly.
I'm talking about past.
I'm sitting in a chair fantasizing about when I was a queen.
Well, exactly. I mean, when I used to do rebirthing, people would come along just to say, I want to have a past life memory. You know, go, well, you know, you breathe and let's see what comes up.
Yeah.
And people just wanted to have past lives. And it's like, well, no, you know, what are you addressing now in your present time?
Yeah.
And if there is anything there,
something
then
relevant.
Let's, yeah.
Well, then that's the key.
You just breathe into it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the other thing that came to mind is that, and we've only got a little bit of time left, is that within the Christian tradition too, reincarnation is there in the Essenes.
Well, it was in Catholicism until the 12th century.
That's right.
Some cathedrals have
exactly
stained glass windows. They've got references.
Yeah. So the notion of reincarnation is, well, you know, no doubt it came from the East, and but it was chucked out.
Well, I was told
for what
by
reason?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because I was told by, I asked this question when I was doing my adult catechism during that,
as you do,
5 years I was a Catholic.
As you do.
And I asked the
this was handy.
I asked the priest who was teaching. I asked him about it, and he says, "Well, it's called Jainism, and it was part of the Catholic teaching until the 12th century."
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was. He says, as you know from your history class, mankind, at least that you know in Europe, went through a very dark time. It was the dark ages. And he said people were kind of just going, well, you know what, I'm going to do a big fat do-over, and I'm going to come back as the guy on the hill that has the, you know, has more food, the guy with the castle. And so people were offing themselves in great numbers, just going like, spin the dial again, you know,
because life is so hideous.
Then the Catholic Church just went, people aren't actually this was what he said the church felt that,
that's his interpretation,
or what he was taught by whoever taught him. And he said it was about there is not enough spiritual maturity in the laity of the church yet to handle this concept, so we need to remove it because we can't have people offing themselves. So that's what I was told.
Well,
on that note
of mixed bag.
Which, by the way, was kind of him saying he believed in it.
Yeah.
Which I walked away going, interesting. Because even through all that catechism stuff, I was thinking, yeah, I still believe in it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Let's see what we can do with all of that.
Let's see what we can dredge up.
Okay. See you there.
See you on the other side.